Welcome to Christians versus the World. I'm your host, Dr. Gregory Williams. Also, for those that would be watching or viewing the podcast on YouTube, The Gospel Mandate with Dr. Gregory Williams. Also, thegospelmandate.org, our website, as far as the church. Wanted to do this for the first time as far as maybe doing these both at the same time as far as the podcast and putting something out on YouTube. It's been a while since I've done either. I've been busy, been caught up on some things, and so I wanted to get something out. And I say get something out because I would say this, not just to put something out just for the sake of putting something out. No. Just recognizing that there are some Christians out there who appreciate what I do and have been very encouraging and wanted me to put out something new or just keep things coming. It is difficult for Christians to find solid material, encouraged material that's going to be biblical. And I do believe that what I teach, what I preach is in line with the Bible, and it is according to what sound theology, biblical theology that we would hold to as Christians, things that you can trust and teachings that are built upon what the Word of God actually teaches. A lot of people say that. A lot of people say that they are teaching the Word of God, and that's actually not the case. So I certainly say that I'm different. But today, this is what our topic is. Notice that I have, as far as our topic, ruthless discipleship. Ruthless discipleship. And I chose that for a reason. And I'll tell you, if, when you look at the scripture, and I'm not going to keep you long as far as the topic, ruthless discipleship, and you know what discipleship is, and following the Lord Jesus Christ, being his disciple, being a follower of Jesus Christ, being a true Christian. Some want to say that there's a difference between a disciple and a Christian. I say no, that in order for you to be a Christian, you have to be a disciple. And if you are a disciple, you are a Christian. Now, a true disciple. You can always have those that are false. You can always have false or fake Christians. So that comes with it, comes with the territory. But what I wanted to discuss again is ruthless discipleship. And I chose the word ruthless for a reason. Now, ruthless means without mercy. And ruthless can have a bad connotation, a bad, let's say a bad association, word association, when you start to think about ruthless. But when I go to these scriptures, and I go to one scripture here in the particular to start us off, I hope you get the picture of what's going on, or why I chose ruthless discipleship and the importance of ruthless discipleship in your walk with Christ. So in Luke chapter 14, verses 25 through 27, it says this. Now large crowds were going along with him, and he turned and said to them, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Those are the words of Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 14, verses 25 again through 27. And when you start to look at this text, notice you see the language that Jesus uses as far as hating. You must hate your own father and mother and wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even your own life, or you cannot be my disciple. He does use hate there. And he says, if anyone comes to me, that you must hate the ones that are closest to you. Now, when Jesus used this language of hating, well, this is what we would call hyperbole. And if you were to look that word up, hyperbole, and see what the meaning would be, what the definition would be in Webster, it would say extravagant exaggeration. So Jesus is using exaggerating language to make a point. And we use exaggerating language to make a point. For instance, it's raining cats and dogs. We might say something like, I'm so hungry that I'm starving. Well, you're not actually starving. It's not actually raining cats and dogs. But you're using that language to make a point, and people understand the point that is being made. And Jesus chose such language to make his point when it comes to the discipleship. When it comes to discipleship and following him. And a lot of people do not want to accept the clear teaching of Scripture on this and what Jesus' point is. And when you fail to do that, then you are, of course, missing what Jesus is emphasizing and missing the application of the Scripture and how you are to apply this passage to your life. I want to read to you right quick here from one of the commentators and what he says in reference to this passage and what he specifically says about Jesus' words here. And this is coming from John Nolan in the Word Biblical Commentary. Listen to what he says here. He says, when it comes to the context, he says Matthew's text focuses on the imagery of taking up the cross. He says Luke's on carrying along the cross. Matthew may be influenced by Mark, but he goes on. He makes the point that when it comes down to what Jesus is saying here, he says that Jesus is really talking about, and I think this is the point that you have to keep in mind. He says the point here is that where there is no hate, where there is hate, no ties that bind limits one's freedom of action. So notice again, the point here is that where there is hate, no ties that bind limit one's freedom of action. So understand the point that he's saying. That when Jesus says hate here, in connection with your family, he is making the point that when it comes to your ties, when it comes to your loyalty and who you are going to follow, that the connection to your family or your devotion to your family and your devotion to Christ, when those two are measured up and one is pulling one way and the other is pulling the other way, that the ties that bind you to your family, the ties that bind you to them, the affection that you have for them, that affection in comparison to Jesus Christ, an affection and devotion you should have for him, it should be the difference between love and hate. There's no other way. There's no other way to somewhat get around the language that Jesus is clearly making in regards to you and what you must do in regards to following him. That you must be willing to hate, not in the sense of saying hate that you are going to have these emotions of hate toward your family, because we already know that Jesus has told us that we should love and certainly love our parents and love our family members. However, and this is where we're coming to the point of the radical, or I said radical, but coming to the ruthless discipleship. That you, when faced with the choice and faced with decisions where you have to choose in following family or following Christ, then you have to be ruthless. You cannot be wavering as far as what are you going to do. And you cannot use your affections for your family as an excuse for not doing what Christ has called you to do. And that's where many fall victim. That's where many drop the ball. They're not ruthless enough. They're not merciless enough to do what needs to do what needs to be done. They won't cut it off. They won't do what has to be done in that moment. And it's not just with family. I'm saying whatever the relationships are. Maybe it is a relationship where you are involved in some type of romantic relationship. I don't care. I don't care what the relationship is. I don't care if it's a friendship. If you put anyone, even children, brothers, sisters, loved ones, husband, wife, no one gets in the front of the relationship when it comes to you and Christ. And some want to be very sentimental about this. Some want to act as though they are doing something that God is pleased with in putting the loved one before Christ. Now, they never want to say. That's the thing you have to watch too. No one ever wants to say that they are putting their children or putting the relationship or putting something before God. No one never want to admit this. However, that is the case. And you know it's the case when, again, Christ is calling you to do this. Christ wants you to do this. Christ has commanded you to do this. And you're not willing to do it. And even when it comes to you following Christ, and even when it comes to your growth in Christ, you are willing to allow these relationships to get in the way of your relationship with Christ. And you want to be sentimental about it. You want to act hurt about it. I've just talking to someone recently, a man recently, and he talked about his devotion to Christ, talked about how holy and righteous he was. In the next breath, this man started talking about an immoral relationship he's in, and started to talk about the things that he knew he was doing that was against God's will. However, he was able to justify it in his mind because he felt like God would understand because he was looking out for the young lady. Now tell me, sin will not have you doing very foolish things. Tell me that these relationships and your care for others will not have you putting others before God. And then you want to be sentimental. You want to talk about your feelings. You want to talk about how hurt you are. You want to act as though your feelings are something that must be considered and that it's hard for you to do this or people don't understand. Who cares? I'll tell you, if you will be around me or listen to someone like me, when it comes to your devotion to Christ, I care nothing about your feelings or what might be getting in the way of you being devoted to Christ and being willing, or you have to be willing to get rid of that as far as you now having some, let's just say, your feelings get in the way, you're feeling hurt, you're feeling down, and I don't understand, or people don't understand. Who cares about that? Notice what Christ is saying in his word. He is telling you at the end of the day that you cannot be his disciple unless you are willing to have such a view when it comes to family and when it comes to others, when it comes to anything. Now, notice I said to you a moment ago when I was reading from the commentator, he made mention of Matthew, and I had started quoting something or making mention of Matthew, because in Matthew, you see a similar passage in Matthew where Jesus is going to make the point of doing something else very radical when it comes to sin. Notice in Matthew chapter 5, verse 30. Notice what Jesus says here. Matthew chapter 5, verse 30. If your right hand makes you stumble, cut it off and throw it from you. For it is better for you to lose one of the parts of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. See, again, that's that ruthless discipleship. If sin, your right hand causing you to sin, he says, cut it off. Now, again, that's the hyperbole. That's the exaggeration of the language to make the point that whatever it takes for you to address that sin, then you must be willing to do it. You cannot use as an excuse, well, you don't know how difficult this is for me, and I've tried this and I've tried that, and I'm just not ready now. This is not the right time. I'm going through something now. And all of these different reasons. And again, your sentiments gets in the way. People want to feel sorry for you. You want to feel sorry for yourself. Instead of you having this ruthless, radical mindset saying, whatever needs to be done when it comes to my devotion to Christ, that's what I will do. If it's sin that's in the way, I'll cut it off. That's what you got to do. If it's family member that's in the way and their relation, my relationship with them is getting in the way of my devotion to Christ, or if they're trying to lead me in a direction that I know I should not be going and that I know that it's against Christ, I will do whatever it needs to take, whatever needs to be done to make sure that I'm in line with Christ and not in line with my family. Who cares about the family? Now again, some want to say, well, you're being too cold. You're not doing what you taking such a position. You're not doing what needs to be done as far as loving. No. I'm loving God. I'm loving Christ. Christ is first. And that's the point that he's making. Again, Matthew chapter 5, I just read Matthew chapter 5, verse 30. Matthew chapter 18, verse 8. If your right hand or your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it from you. It is better for you to enter life crippled or lame than to have two hands or two feet and be cast into the eternal fire. Radical. That's how radical you really have to be. That's how ruthless you have to be in regards to sin. In regards to anything that's going to get in the way of your relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, going back for a minute, let me touch on something to show you an example from the Old Testament. If you go back to Exodus chapter 32, Exodus chapter 32, after Moses comes down from the mountain, remember what had happened. You had a situation where Aaron was leading the people, was in charge of the people, and the people started rebellion. They got loose. And Moses, to put an end to this, Moses had the Levites to do something. And I want you to see what the scripture says that the Levites did. In Exodus chapter 32, verses 27 through 29, listen to what he says, what the word of God says. He said to them, thus saith the Lord, thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, every man of you put his sword upon his thigh and go back and forth from gate to gate in the camp and kill every man his brother and every man his friend and every man his neighbor. So the sons of Levi did as Moses instructed, and about 3,000 men of the people fell that day. Then Moses said, dedicate yourselves today to the Lord, for every man has been against his son and against his brother in order that he may bestow a blessing upon you today. That's what the Levites did. Moses gave a command that God, what God would have the Levites to do. Don't worry about don't let your affection for your brothers, for your friends, for your neighbor but you go through and kill the ones who have done this wrong. Yeah, that's the kind of ruthlessness when it comes to God's righteousness that's needed. And you see how the scriptures go on and make the point about what the Levites did here. And you will see in, and I want to say this is in Deuteronomy, and it's Deuteronomy chapter, let me give you the right chapter here. Deuteronomy chapter 33, verses 8 and 9, when it speaks of this incident of Levi, he said, let your Thummim and Urim belong to your godly man whom you proved at Massah, with whom you contended at the waters of Meribah, who said of his father and his mother, I did not consider them, and he did not acknowledge his brothers, nor did he regard his own sons. He did what had to be done. And they're commended in scripture for what they did. That's what you see. That's the kind of, again, ruthless discipleship that's needed. That whatever God commands, whatever Jesus Christ commands, you will let no relationship get in the way. You will do what needs to be done at whatever cost, because you know what has been commanded. You know what has been expected. Yes, that's what I'm talking about. Now, I know, again, some will say about someone like myself, they would say, see, with being around a pastor like that, being around a teacher like that, that's just too much. He doesn't have the kind of love that I would want from a pastor. He doesn't have the type of sensitivity that I would want from a pastor or a teacher. He seems to be a little bit too focused on hate and just other things that doesn't seem to be in line with the gospel and in line with the Bible. And I say, no, you're wrong. Because see, you have to recognize where someone like myself is coming from. And I will use the Apostle Paul's words here in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2. Listen to what he says here. For I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy. For I betrothed you to one husband, so that to Christ I might present you as a pure virgin. New King James Version says it like this. For I am jealous for you with godly jealousy. For I have betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. One last one. The New Living Translation. For I am jealous for you with the jealousy of God himself. I promised you as a pure bride to one husband, Christ. Now, what is that passage talking about? What is Paul really saying here? Paul is saying to the Corinthian church, listen, I have this jealousy for you, a godly jealousy, that I'm so concerned about you. I'm so concerned about your devotion to God that I have, in a sense, I'm looking out for you like a father would look out for his virgin daughter, to make sure that when you are married, when this daughter is married to this husband, that she will still have her chastity. She will still be this virgin. She will still be of this holy character. Well, the same way that for the people that I preach to, the people that I seek to reach out to, and the people that will, again, listen to what I have to say. I am trying to present you to Christ as one who is devoted to him, that is not being led astray by the world. I want you to be presented to Christ as one who is totally devoted to him. So then, I would encourage you in all my power, with all that is in me, to say whatever is getting in the way of your devotion to Christ, then we have to get rid of it. And we have to be ruthless about it. We have to do whatever it takes to say that if this is getting in the way, then we have to address it. And I'm telling you, it applies to any and everything. And let me give you one last example, since it's the season. I say anything. I'm telling you, even these people that are so caught up with football, when you are able to spend hours and hours watching and talking about football, your passion is about football. All of your focus is on football. And you got all of this passion for football, yet for God, for Jesus Christ, there's no devotion. There's no passion. There's no dedication to making sure that you are in the Word of God, that you are living out the Word of God, that you are devoted to Christ in the way that you should be. I'm not trying to say just because you watch a football game that means that you're not devoted to Christ. But certainly, we would all have to acknowledge that there is a point that with what we see going on with people, again, with these hours and hours of football and their dedication and their affection for football is not spiritually healthy. Your affection for football, your affection for sports is greater affection for that of Jesus Christ, for that of your supposedly faith. And it's not just football. I'm telling you, it could be social media. It could be whatever that's out there. It could be your job, whatever interests, whatever hobbies. If these things are getting in the way of your devotion to Christ, that is an issue. And you have to be ruthless about it, merciless, that if it's getting in the way, let me handle business. Let me not, again, try to sugarcoat it. Let me not try to act as though I can't do what needs to be done in this situation. You can do what needs to be done. Cut it off. Handle business. Address the issue. Don't let others tell you, no, it doesn't take all that. No, what he's saying, he's taking it too far. He's one of these guys that like to take things too far. And Jesus is not saying all of that. Yes, Jesus is saying all of that. Jesus wants your total devotion to him. And when you are willing to put your family, you're willing to put others before him, that is clearly an issue. And people love to do it and think that they are doing the family member favor. They think that this is in line with their Christianity when it's clearly against Christianity, clearly against their faith. They help their loved ones to do wrong. They allow their loved ones to do wrong, even within their homes. And they know it's wrong. And some of you will even go so far as to supply the means for them to do wrong and think that you're in line with God's will. You think that you are being a true disciple of Jesus Christ when you allow that sin within your home, when you allow your family member to do sin in your presence under your roof, when they encourage you to do wrong, lead you down the wrong path, you know that they're doing this, and you are still willing to say, yes, let me continue to partner with them. Let me continue to fellowship with them. Let me continue to have this strong relationship with my family, even though I know my family is leading me further from Christ. That's crazy. And I tell you, I don't care about your family. I don't care about my family in relation to whether or not they're, when it comes to them and my relationship to Jesus Christ. Not even my family. So don't believe in any kind of way I'm telling you to do something that I wouldn't do. I'm telling you, when it comes to my own family, I would care not one iota what my family thought about me in relation to me serving Jesus Christ. And I would never put one of my family members before Christ. And that's what I'm encouraging you to do. Have this ruthless discipleship when it comes to your relationship with Jesus Christ. If you don't have that, there's issue. You don't have that type of devotion, there's serious issues. Again, my name is Dr. Gregory Williams. I could be reached at thegospelmandate.org.